Good morning and happy Sabbath to everyone. Well, going along with the theme of the Day of Atonement, which we'll be observing 1 week from today, I'd like to start off this message by asking a few questions. And as I ask them, you might be wondering, well, how does that relate to the Day of Atonement? But I think it'll be made very well, very clear by the end. So the first question is, how do we impress God? How do we receive praise from God openly in front of others? How can we cause God to remember us? How do we create a relationship with God where he feels he knows us very, very closely? What causes God to really desire to speak with us more and more and to get to know us even better? How do we cause God to think highly of us at the mere sight of us? And last, what causes us to have friends who also make a very lasting impression on God? There are more questions I could ask, but I'm going to stop there with those seven. And as you're thinking about the possible answer, please go ahead and start turning to John chapter 1 and verse 43. Again, that's John chapter 1 and verse 43. And it is here where we'll read the passage that should begin to make the answer clear. It is a very often heard story. I'm sure you've heard it many times. But we'll explore it more during this message. So again, picking up in verse 43 where Jesus is choosing and calling his disciples to his ministry. So verse 43. Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he would find Philip, and says unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip finds Nathanael, and says unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there be anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. And Nathanael said unto him, How do you know me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said this unto you, that I saw you under the fig tree, and you believe, you shall see greater things than these. So right off, we see that Jesus was impressed with Nathanael's faith. Nathanael was skeptical at first, but was very quick to wholeheartedly change his heart. And we also see that Jesus had seen him previously, had taken notice of him, and remembered him. Nathanael kept company with those that impressed Jesus. Philip being a perfect example, you know, he was called, in, as it says in this passage, to be a disciple. And Nathanael was also impressive. He caused Jesus to speak highly of him in front of others. And it is also widely agreed that Nathanael, I'm not saying conclusively, but widely agreed that Nathanael was otherwise known as Bartholomew, one of the 12 disciples. And so we can get the idea that Nathanael, though, was a straight talker. He was very forthright in his words when his first thought and statement was, Can there be anything good coming out of Nazareth? But what was it about Nathanael specifically? What quality and characteristic about him that so impressed Jesus that he mentioned to Nathanael that he remembered him and had seen him? Well, I'd like to submit to you today that the answer is in Jesus' very direct statement about Nathanael. And that statement is, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. That is certainly very high praise, I think. We should all want God to praise us in such a way. So, but what does that mean exactly? What is it mean? What does it mean to have no guile? Well, let's first define guile. And Merriam-Webster defines it as deceitful, cunning, and duplicity. And to define deceit is the act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is actually false or invalid. And what is duplicity? It's contradictory doubleness of thought, speech, or action. So in other words, I think we can safely say guile is intentional, sly, crafty speech or action is intended to conceal true intentions by attempting to cause someone or a group to accept something as true when it is actually false. The devil has this world deceived, as is written in Revelation 12:9. That's how he operates. But to apply the characteristic of having no guile to Nathanael, as we read in this passage, he was clearly a man that Jesus said was open and true in all his actions and all his words. What you see is what you get. Do you know people who are like that? Is that said of you? Is that said of me? I would say Nathanael was probably a person who sometimes said things that he quickly wished he'd maybe not said. And we can get the idea that by reviewing his first statement upon hearing from Philip that we have found of him of whom Moses is in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And what again did Nathanael say? He quickly shot out, "Can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Maybe not the wisest first statement or thought, but that's what he said. And now if you were Jesus, how would you respond to such a statement about your hometown? Well, Philip didn't think anything of it. He responded simply and said, "Come and see." It's clear Philip knew him, and he realized all he had to do was point him to Jesus. And Jesus knew him because he gave him high praise as he was approaching. It's clear everyone who knew Nathanael knew Nathanael. And they knew not to take offense because he was always sincere and truthful. That didn't mean that he always had the right idea, but his mind was quickly and easily changed when he realized the truth. But how did Jesus know Nathanael? He had never met him before. Even still, though, Jesus did know him, making it apparent in the praise, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael wondered the same thing when he said, "How do you know me?" Well, the clue, I think, is in Jesus' answer. "Behold, that Philip called, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." I find this very profound. I think it shows Jesus' already very close relationship with Nathanael. And I think it was immediately apparent to Nathanael as well, that Jesus knew him, judging by what Nathanael said in return. He said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." So Nathanael immediately recognized who Jesus was. So to explain further, Jesus already knew Nathanael, I think, is because the fig tree is often recognized as a place of prayer for the Israelites. And of course, when we pray to God, we not only express our conscious thoughts, but God also understands our hearts, as it says in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 39. So it would appear that in prayer to God under the fig tree, Nathanael expressed his every thought with sincerity and with truth, as it says, we must worship God. And Jesus, though being God in the flesh, still heard Nathanael's prayer, and he was moved by it. He was moved so much that he gave such incredibly high praise to Nathanael. And he did it in such a way that Nathanael was then touched and moved to, again, he proclaimed Jesus as the Son of God. I find such interaction, as we read here, to be very touching, that Jesus carefully and deliberately praised Nathanael in a very loving and personal way, a way that had such meaning conveyed personally to Nathanael. It's truly amazing to me how well God knows us all. He knows us all so well, hearing our every thought, that he can easily speak right to our heart, and he can convey a very personal message that we so fully understand. Please turn to Psalms chapter 139. That's again Psalms chapter 139. I think David captures this idea just beautifully. It expresses it so well, just how fully understood we are, absolutely and ultimately by God. So again, that's chapter 139, starting in verse 1. Says, David says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought from afar off. You compassed my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have beset me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yes, the darkness hides not from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you have possessed my reins, you have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in your book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with you. Surely you will slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloody man, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate you, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against you. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So again, I think David just captures the idea perfectly. It's so clear. David understood it so well. God knows everything about us. We're laid bare before him. There is no hiding from it. So as I said, the beginning, you know, how does this apply to the Day of Atonement? Well, in conclusion, and to get back to that theme, as we know, we'll be keeping the Day of Atonement here in a week. It applies because how very humbling, as, you know, fasting causes us to be when we afflict our souls and not eat. How very humbling it is, though, to know that God knows everything about us. He knows our every deed, our every thought, our every emotion, our every intention. Nothing is hidden. Everything about us is laid bare before him. And so as a result, let us all work diligently to have it said of each of us, as Jesus said of Nathanael, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no God."